Testing. Wonderful. Please grab a seat. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Cam, and you'll see me around a lot doing different things. It's okay, I just like to help people and help out. But I wanted to give a quick shout out to Leslie this morning, for without her, I would not have my sermon today. I tried several printers and I tried different things, and Leslie was very kind to pop home and print it for me, and it reveals the rock that Leslie is in helping people here, and I wanted to honour her today for that. So thank you so much, Leslie. I also wanted a quick announcement about Sunday school and all the parents who are in the kids' room, which is fun, I'll catch them later. But Sunday school will be resuming next week. I can't do it today because I'm here. The next and more important topic is your Bibles. Please have them with you today. We'll be focusing on the New Testament a lot today because we're looking at the armour of God. And so if you have your Bibles handy, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. But we will be going around a lot of Paul's writings, a lot of things, and it's really valuable for you to have the Bible in your hands and read along so you know that I'm not just making stuff up as I go, and also to check that I'm being accurate in what I'm saying. So what is armour? It's not something that we tend to wear very much now. We do if you're in the military and if you are maybe going to go and play paintball, or maybe going into a room where all the kids are playing and you need to protect yourself, but chances are that armour is not something that you tend to wear much in your life. Thankfully, it's part of living in a free and non-war-torn zone, and that's wonderful. But armour is something that we actually as Christians should be wearing all the time. It's something that we're called to wear, and it's written very eloquently by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, and it's what we're looking at today. But as we go through this, think about the armours that you have wearing, because a lot of us put bits and pieces on, but we don't wear the full thing. And the full thing is what sets us apart from everyone else, because it's God-given, and you'll see why as we look into it today. So please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we have your word. Thank you that we are able to learn almost with fresh eyes, Lord, the things that Paul said to the church all those years ago. Lord, may we take to heart what we read today and what we hear. May we be encouraged and also challenged, Lord, that our lives may not be actually in keeping with the way you want us to be living. So please remind us today of where you want us to be and what you want us to be aspiring to. In precious name. Amen. Starting in verse 10 of chapter 6, Paul starts with preparation. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's a call to preparation. And preparation is a cornerstone, it's a foundation of our Christian life. And if it's not, it should be. Those who are unprepared ultimately become dejected and disillusioned in their faith as they are relying on their own wisdom and power to succeed in any venture. Our strength comes from the Lord. His, and only his, is sufficient to see us through the battle. And that's why we need armour. We're in a battle. The book of Ephesians reminds us of the reality that as Christians, we are one in Christ and are one with him. His life is our life. His power, his strength, our strength. And as verse 10 so clearly demonstrates, We are strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Why rely on our own strength when we have the Lord's there? And that's why Paul is writing to us about the armour. God gave us the armour. Put on the full armour of God in verse 11 so that you can take your stand against the devil's snares. To take advantage of God's strength, we must put on the armour that he gives us. The sobering thing that happened as I was preparing was that we actually need to maintain this armour all the time and not just take it on and take it off as it pleases us as we wear the uniform of what a Christian is. Today I wear the helmet. Forgot the boots, but that's okay. Effectively, it's very easy, even in just living your life, to forget that we are actually being called to wear the whole thing, which is where it gets challenging, because there are areas that everyone does better in than others. And I found it quite sobering for myself. It's not a uniform or fancy dress that we wear at church at special occasions. It's intended to be a lifelong companion. The armour of God provides and protects us with the divine power from him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to make us stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy. That comes from Jude chapter 24. By living an obedient, scripture-filled, spirit-empowered life, we are able to stand firm. But why do we need to stand firm? Why is that even a thing? The enemy. The enemy is Satan, the devil, the fallen one, the one who hates God. He is God's enemy, and thus he is our enemy. The only way he can attack God is through us. And he does that very confidently, and he seeks us out and tries to force us to stumble. He isn't the only one either. In verse 12, Paul writes, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul is reminding us that our struggle as Christians is not only against Satan himself, but also his hosts of demon subordinates. Our greatest enemy is not the world that we can see, no matter how much corruption and evil that we see on a daily basis, but it's the world we cannot see. It's the things that are going on behind what we see. And that's why Paul charges us to wear the armour. You can't see the armour, it's not a physical representation, but it's there. And you can tell when you're not wearing it. Verse 13, "Therefore put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand." It's the second use in the verses of the word stand. Stand firm. Why do we stand firm? Well, soldiers were called to stand firm because it meant that if they broke ranks, the whole troop would just fall to pieces. So effectively, standing firm was your charge. It's what you were there to do. You're wearing armour to help you stand firm. And likewise, we are called to do that. We are called to do this, to stand firm until God returns. We sang an awesome song that Glenn really liked just before communion. And it's all about how glorious and wonderful God is. And standing firm is what we are called to do until his glorious return. Paul's point here is to take up the full armour of God. For even the most eager and committed soldier is helpless without God's provision. You are more than capable of being eager and wanting to do the things God has for you. But if you're not equipped to do what you need to do, it's not going to work out. It's going to be futile ultimately. We have his provision. We're his children. We have his word. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And we have every resource of our Heavenly Father at our disposal. God is our strength, but we can only access it through our obedience to him. And we actually have to play a part in that. And the first thing is we put our armour on. We need to actually wear it. And we must take it up. We must actually acknowledge this is what the armour is and actually put it on. So not just the mere act of putting it on, but actually this is what it means. It's quite an in-depth process. And as I was... It's all upside down. That's why it's a little bit weird. Sorry about that. I was going through and going, right, there's all these pieces of armour, so we'll go through them. And I got to about 2,400 words, and I went, all right, Cap, we're doing two today. So we're going to be looking at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness today. So other parts will be forthcoming in the coming months. We'll see it in the bulletin, but... we're now looking at the girdle, or the belt of truth. So please look at verse 14 with me. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The first piece of armour, the belt of truth. In Paul's time, you can envision Paul in prison, and he's writing his letters and writing his things, and the armour that he would have seen most commonly was the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier used to wear a tunic, and they had lots of bits and pieces of armour, but one of the things that held it all together was the belt. Because without the belt, nothing would hold together when they had to move and do the things they needed to do. It's like a base. It's like setting the outfit together, complements the outfit, but it holds it together. Truth, or in Greek it's aletheia, refers to content that which is true. So the content of which is true. And the content of God's truth is absolutely essential to the believer in his battle against Satan's schemes. The knowledge of biblical teaching is the only thing that grounds us against these schemes. It's the only thing that can pierce all of the nonsense that gets thrown up when we lose our head. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. So please go to chapter 4. If we, in the context of pursuing biblical knowledge, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It's a base. It grounds us and means that the false schemes can only be successfully encountered when you have the Word of God in your heart. And so that's a charge. That means that we have to actively fill our minds and hearts with the Word, which isn't just from here on a Sunday. That means daily reading and walking with the Word in your own private communion with the Lord. Aletheia can also refer to the attitude of truthfulness, meaning it represents not only the accuracy of specific truths, but also their quality. As Christians, we've been asked to gird ourselves into attitudes of total truthfulness. And I had to Google gird just to get the definition. And the definition of gird means to secure a garment or a sword on the body with a belt or band. So we need to gird, to tighten up, to be girded with truth shows that we possess an attitude of readiness and genuine commitment. A sincere believer can be recognized by the way in which they forsake hypocrisy and shams. Every hurdle that might hinder our work for the Lord is to be gathered and tucked into our belt as we move forward in what the Lord has for us. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, it says, "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. We mustn't get caught up in our daily cares so much that they deviate us from our commanding officer's call. To put on the belt of truth is to display the self-discipline of total commitment." It's easy to say that, but to actually do it is a whole different thing. But we're not alone. In Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers," Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." When our minds are renewed in commitment to God's truth, there is empowerment for us, his soldiers, to become a living and holy sacrifice that pleases God and is our service of true and proper worship. How important is that belt? Essential. And to take it on, and as Christians, we take it on. We need to make sure that it's firmly fastened. And it's not, we're not taking it off when it means things, because it's holding all of this together. Vitally important piece of armour. They all are spoilers. They all are. But the belt is at the start of you equipping. I'm not sure you put it on first, depending on how you put your armour on. And that brings us to the breastplate of righteousness, which is also mentioned in verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14 of Ephesians. "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth tucked buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place." The breastplate of a soldier in Roman times had the sole purpose of protecting the heart and vital organs. Breastplates haven't changed much. We have Kevlar and things now, but effectively, it's to protect all the vital bits you want to stay inside your body when you go to war and battle. And our vital organs as Christians, and enemies also in conventional warfare, are where the enemy loves to attack. because it's where it's going to hurt you the most. And so when you are trying to, if you don't protect your vital organs, the enemy is going to come and rip them out. And that's an area that Satan loves. And there's two areas in particular that Satan loves to attack, and that's our mind and our emotions. These are fiercely assaulted by Satan on a daily basis, whether we realize it or not. Satan has established a world system that tempts us to think and feel the wrong things no matter where we find ourselves. He tries to cloud our minds with false information and doctrines to confuse and shift our attentions away from God. He wants to replace the word of God in our minds with his own ideas that undermine life as God intended, and rather lead us to our own selfish, basic, sinful states. Adam and Eve in the garden is a wonderful example of this. Satan wants us to laugh at sin rather than feel aggrieved as a child of God should. He wants us to be so desensitized to sin that it no longer bothers us or even makes us think things and pricks our conscience. We don't even register. And that's unfortunately the world we find ourselves in. Leaving these doors, just going out into the world, and the things that you see and the things that you come across are all designed to cause you to think, feel and do the wrong things. Our protection as Christians is the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is to cover our body as armoured breastplates protected the Roman soldiers. But what kind of righteousness is Paul talking about? It's not certainly not self-righteousness. It's not saying, I'm right in this, and the pride that comes from that. That has got nothing to do with it. And then we found out about a different kind of righteousness, imputed righteousness. And that's perfect righteousness that God applies to every believer's account the moment they believe in Christ. In Romans, I've got a list of verses, but in your own time you can have a look at them. Paul talks about this quite a lot in Romans chapter 4, and if you're interested in the verses, come see me afterwards. But God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We cannot put on what God has already clothed us with. We did nothing for the imputed righteousness. It's freely given. It's, as believers, we already have it. The righteousness that we put on as spiritual armour is that of a practical righteousness, of a life lived in obedience to God's word. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24 to 27. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Imputed righteousness makes practical righteousness possible, but only obedience to the Lord makes practical righteousness a reality. So we need to obey the Lord, and that's what the breastplate represents. It's putting it on in obedience and living lives as we know it. And there's actually a lot more to it in terms of the way in which Satan tries to rock that through lusts, through wants, needs, all these things. It was very interesting in doing some of the research, thinking about King David and Bathsheba when he was lamenting to the Lord. It's not just a case of saying, sorry, Lord, for this horrible thing. There's a lot more there because he'd forsaken the charge he'd been given as leader of God's people. The breastplate is showing not just to everyone, but to the Lord, that you're obeying him and living your life in accordance with the scriptures. To wear it and to live daily, moment to moment, in obedience to God is what the call is for the breastplate of righteousness. And that means we're called to put on a holy living, for which our standards come from the Heavenly Father, and that's as does his power. And our part is to say, Lord, come in, willingly accept and drop the knee and submit to the Lord in obedience in all aspects of our lives. Because it's in all of those aspects. Some of, as people, we're good at some aspects of our lives, but there are other areas that are very tender and places that we feel insecure in, and that's where the enemy is going to be attacked. And that's why, as brothers and sisters, we fellowship and encourage one another, go to Bible studies, and really build ourselves up in the Word so that we're able to come together and encourage and provide extra support when we're really struggling with something that this other person, other brother and sister, is not. And this is where, at over the course of my preparation for the sermon, I was like, okay, so we've got two, awesome. And there's a lot more coming. But I think that's a good place to stop in terms of the talking about the armour. Because before I come back in future and continue talking about the armour, please continue to read and do your own study on it, to what the armour is. But this is the call. By examining it, two of these pieces today, we've learned to gird ourselves in truth and submit ourselves to the Lord in obedience, so that we may display a practical righteousness to those around us. The armour is foundational to our walk. In fact, it's like our mark. It represents everything of God working in us by putting on these different pieces, especially the pieces that we've left to rust or we've neglected to put on. I see the armour as a wonderful map for the areas we should be addressing in our lives. Even just in the preparation I've done, I've gone, well, the breastplate's something I need to work on. And you can see areas where as you go through, you go, well, I'm not doing that, Lord, and I should be. And so as an encouragement and as a challenge, I guess, please delve in and read and see where you are in relation to your armour. Because the Lord has freely given it. We just leave it on the shelf and we don't dole it out when we should be wearing it full time. Our armour is only as good as the soldier within. If we're not willing to put it on, you're leaving yourself up to all sorts of vulnerabilities and attack. And when you go, Lord, why did this happen? The Lord will hear you and he feels for you, but you have not obeyed him, and you've allowed yourself to be in those situations because you haven't been walking with him. You've been assuming God's plan for you as opposed to letting God guide you. When we humbly come before the Lord and walk in obedience and submission to him, he will reveal to us where he wants you to go next. And to finish off the sermon today, words from the song "In Christ Alone" come to mind. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Let's stand together as brothers and sisters with our armour, so the Lord may work through us to help those that do not yet know him. Let's pray.